So as we come to our fourth instalment in our Advent series, a series that's all about boxing up our fears at Christmas, now please open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. And this morning we're going to take in verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25, and catching up with what's gone before, at the end of November, we learned that in a scary world, our confidence is found in God's word. And then in the first week of December, the Lord warned everyone about going after the wrong things to overcome our fears. Meanwhile, last Sunday morning, and in the context of being afraid, Phil spoke to us about the reassurance of God's favour and faithfulness. And as we get to thinking about our fourth message in this series, I wonder, how do we react when we receive bad news? Do we give up because we are afraid? Or do we press on and do we do the unimaginable? Take, for example, the world-famous basketball player Michael Jordan. Some of you may know his story. As a young man, he was cut from the best basketball team at high school because at just under 6 feet tall, he was considered too short for the game. But this bad news did not affect him. This bad news did not define him. Michael Jordan did not give up. Instead, he pressed on. He was unafraid. He did the unimaginable. He won multiple championships as well as 2 Olympic gold medals. And as we get closer to our text for this morning, I take it that these themes are found in our passage. In Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25, we're going to spend some time thinking about being unafraid of bad news and doing the unimaginable with God. Now, for any who might not know, our author Matthew is a Jew, and before Jesus called him as a disciple, Matthew was a tax collector. And writing somewhere in the middle of the first century, Matthew's gospel speaks to the Jews about the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Matthew uses the Old Testament in his gospel to show Jewish men and women that Jesus fulfilled God's promises to the nation of Israel. And if you're reading Matthew's gospel privately, look out for those moments when Matthew underlines this to his readers. Notice phrases like, "For so it is written by the prophet." Or check out those moments when Matthew mentions a prophet by name. Well, having introduced our theme and given some background to the passage that we're looking at for this morning, we're now ready to unpack our text. And so let's begin with verse 18. Can you see it there in your Bibles? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Please follow as I read it. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." So as verse 18 begins, Matthew gives his original audience a headline for all that is to follow. Matthew points to the humanity and the deity of God's Son. Jesus was born in the way we understand it, but at the same time, Matthew is clear, Jesus is God's Christ. I'm sure we saw that. Jesus is God's chosen one on earth in a body like ours. And it must be this way so that when the time comes for Jesus to die, Jesus can be that one-time sacrifice for the sins of his people, for men, women, boys, and girls. Having pointed his first hearers to the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ, as verse 18 rolls on, Matthew then gives his listeners information that is not known to Joseph at this point. And we don't have to be a believer. We don't have to be a Christian to understand that this is a delicate moment. As verse 18 moves forward, can you see it there? Matthew says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So in the middle of verse 18, Joseph and Mary are betrothed, or they are legally committed to be married. And in the Jewish culture of those times, the engagement would take place about 1 year before the marriage ceremony. Mary would continue to stay with her own family, and the agreement was a serious one under God's law. And as we keep this in mind, we begin to understand why the last part of verse 18 brings a degree of tension to the text. In the last part of verse 18, Matthew tells us that before Joseph and Mary were married, that is, before Joseph and Mary can enjoy together the maximum blessing of marriage, Mary is found to be pregnant, just as God's angel promised. However, Joseph is not sure. He's not sure at all. And Matthew begins to get into this at verse 19. Can you see it there? And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, at the beginning of verse 19, Matthew gives us a little puzzle. At verse 18, we said that Joseph and Mary are engaged, but at the start of verse 19, Matthew describes Joseph as Mary's husband. So, which is it? Well, be assured there's no contradiction at this point. This is another way of talking about Joseph being Mary's man. And having cleared that up, let's focus on the important bit, the bit that comes next. As verse 19 goes on, Mary tells us that Joseph is a, or rather Matthew tells us that Joseph is a just man. Can you see it there? That is to say, Joseph tried to follow what the living law God taught in the scriptures, what the Bible teaches. And believing that he had found sexual indecency in Mary, Joseph decides to end his engagement to her. And while we don't know just yet how Joseph felt, that comes to us at verse 20. For the time being, Matthew shows us how Joseph tries to keep his emotions and his feelings under control. As verse 19 ends, Matthew tells us that Joseph was unwilling to embarrass or humiliate Mary, despite the news. Digging down a bit more, using part of God's law to Israel, Joseph intends to break off his engagement to Mary, and he intends to do this as quietly as possible. However, Joseph's plans, his thoughts, are not the same as God's. And we begin to see this for ourselves at verses 20 to 21. Please follow those verses as we go back over them again. Starting at verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for or because he will save his people from their sins. Dealing with the detail of verse 20, after Joseph falls asleep, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. And as we consider this meeting, did we spot how their conversation begins? As the angel speaks to Joseph, he gives Joseph a special title. He says, Joseph, son of David. By using those terms, the angel reminds Joseph that his ancestry is in the line of King David, a line that would lead to the Saviour of God's people. And having given Joseph that reminder, the angel of the Lord prepares Joseph for all that is to follow. As verse 20 goes on, and this is where we learn a little bit more about the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings that Joseph was experiencing. As verse 20 goes on, the angel tells Joseph that he must not be afraid of Mary's situation, because Mary's baby has been given to her by the Holy Spirit, not by the seed of a man. And then as we move to verse 21, the angel of the Lord speaks about the future for this baby as ordained by God. And as the angel speaks, I'm sure we notice this, the angel is emphatic as the angel looks to the future for this baby. Mary will give birth to a son. And Joseph and Mary must name the baby Jesus, because in time, Jesus will save his people from their sins. And as we pause briefly, this is a significant moment for Matthew's first audience. Matthew wants his fellow Jews to understand clearly why God sent his one and only son into this fallen world. Matthew wants his hearers to know that through the line of King David, King Jesus came into this world to save his chosen people from their sins. And as we come to verses 22 to 23 now, Matthew tells us that this was all in accordance with God's plans. Plans that were made many hundreds of years beforehand, in all eternity. Look at verses 22 to 23 with me, please. This took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Explaining verse 22, with his fellow Jews in mind, Matthew points them back to the Old Testament. He points them to their scriptures. And then at verse 23, Matthew uses a quote from the prophet Isaiah, a prophet who lived on earth many hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was alive on earth. And although the name Emmanuel is different to the name Jesus, we may say that the promise contained in the name Emmanuel is found in the life of Jesus on earth, because just as Emmanuel means God with us, well, so Jesus was. Jesus is God living on earth with us. And as we come to our last two verses for this morning, it's here that our theme is then made out in full. Despite his own thoughts, his own feelings, Joseph is obedient to the Lord. Joseph is unafraid of doing the unimaginable for God. Look at verses 24 to 25. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Addressing the detail at verse 24, after Joseph wakes up, Matthew infers that there is a change of heart. Joseph exercises faith over fear. Despite those looks and those comments from others who would in time do the maths for Mary and begin to gossip, Joseph hands over his fears to God, and Joseph obeys God. In time, Joseph will marry Mary, but just as verse 25 tells us, Joseph does not consummate his relationship with Mary until after Jesus is born. And as verse 25 ends, we're told by Matthew that Joseph assumes lawful responsibility for Jesus as he officially names him. Now, stepping back from our text that we've explained and reflecting on the ground that we have covered, Matthew has shown us that with God's help, Joseph was unafraid and willing to do the unimaginable with God. And as we consider this, I wonder, when might this be true for us here this morning and for you listening online? Not so much about the situation that Joseph found himself to be in, rather, when shall we, with God's help, stop being afraid of our own thoughts and those things that others might say to us and give our lives to Jesus by faith? When might that be us? For sure, those doubts and questions in our minds, combined with those things that people will inevitably say to our face or behind our back or on social media, at home, at work, at school, at uni. Yes, those things that people say to us about the Christian faith, yes, they're not nice. They're cutting, they're hurtful, made in ignorance often. And these things can make us feel afraid and downcast, and we doubt the future. But just as God's Son Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven and come into this fallen world and demonstrate faithfully the gospel of God and die on that cross so that we might know the joy of sins forgiven, just as Jesus was unafraid to do something unimaginable for people like us, so this Christmas, Jesus invites all of us to be unafraid of doing something unimaginable for him. Rather than ignoring Jesus and his gospel, Jesus invites us to go to him exactly as we are, and with a humble heart, confess our sins to him and him alone, and ask him to be Lord of our lives, to be in charge of our lives, and to be our Savior, so that we too, by faith, might know God with us. Will this be you this morning? I hope and pray that it might be so. For all who do the unimaginable with Jesus, not only will Jesus help us to overcome our fears and our difficulties in this life, when we're trusting by faith in Jesus, he promises that rather than being thrown into hell forever, we shall be welcomed into heaven forever. Therefore, friends, let's not be afraid of Jesus Christ and his gospel. Jesus and his gospel has achieved unimaginable things for us. Jesus gives us peace with God, and there is no better gift than that. Amen.